This evening's scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 22, reading from verse 39 to 44. And I read, "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
The events of Maundy Thursday began in the morning. We are told in John chapter 13 that day was very special because Jesus knew that his hour had come. Jesus did not just know, he has spent many months preparing for this moment, moving inexorably from Galilee in the north, working his way towards Jerusalem. And this was that moment. This was his hour. That day was the Passover. And so they had come to the upper room where there was the roasted lamb, the lamb that had been kept with them for a few days. And there was, of course, the unleavened bread, the matzah. But there were also bitter herbs. For if you read in Exodus chapter 12, we discover that they were to eat this roasted lamb along with bitter herbs. Parsley, horseradish, different types of bitter herbs. To remind them of the bitterness that they experienced while they were in Egypt. But we do not need bitter herbs to remind us of the bitterness of Egypt because our lives have enough bitterness of our own. Every mother who agonizes over their child, a wayward child. Some of us who are struggling with physical, mental, spiritual ailments. We have enough bitterness of our lives. So when they ate of that bitterness, they were reminded of the plight of humanity. Throughout this entire journey, Jesus could have walked away at any given point of time. He had ample opportunity. That the route of escape opens up to him like a river delta with 1,000 different roads, giving him the path of least resistance. But he would not. He doggedly chose to move towards that hour. And that is why on that particular Thursday, he was weighed down by a great weight, carrying the suffering of the world and the sin of the world upon his back. And yet, none of his disciples had known this, save perhaps for Mary. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. Mary, who was a sinful woman, maybe even a prostitute. She alone knew, and she had brought her alabaster jar just a few days before to break it because that was her last opportunity to tell Jesus how much she loved him and how much she was grateful for him. But today at that meal, as you have seen things unfold, they ate that meal. They asked the questions that you would normally ask, "Ma nishtana halayla hazeh?" What is so different about this night? Mikol Halelot, from all the other evenings. And they would go through and explain all these things to them as a rabbi would conducting the liturgy of the Passover. But after the Passover, the disciples gathered around. Jesus had a very long discourse. Nearly half the book of John constitutes of that conversation. Jesus told them many different things because this was his moment. This was the time that Jesus had to convey to them, to these disciples who were seemingly unaware They were still arguing among themselves who would be greatest. Jesus tried his best to tell them until eventually, after all has been said and done, after he has demonstrated with the washing of feet, after he's given them the new commandment, finally, in John chapter 15, he looks at his disciples. He stands up, his gaze met their eyes, he looked at them and he said to them, "As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you." This was going to be the last opportunity for Jesus to say in his words, but not the last time that he would demonstrate his love. But he would say to them, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, just as I keep my Father's commandments and abide in him. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy will abide in you, and so that your joy may be full." And Jesus continued to convey his burden to his disciples. He said to them, "This is my commandment." He has said this before, now he's saying it again. "That you should love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one should lay down his life for his friend." And you, and he will look at them, at every one of them, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command. I no longer call you my servants, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. No, I call you my friends, because everything I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you." And so, Jesus poured out his heart, looking at his disciples. And I believe that in that moment in time, as Jesus gazed upon his disciples, all 12 of them, including Judas, he saw in their eyes, not just them and their children, but he saw all of us. Jesus would look at every single one of us and said, "I have laid down my life for you, who are my friends." You know, his disciples didn't quite get it, because this was his last moment. Jesus was gone to pray some of his most earnest prayer. He prayed for himself. He prayed that his disciples would be sanctified by the truth. They did not understand this. In fact, Jesus was so torn at that moment. In John chapter 16, he says, "I am going back to the one who sent me, and yet none of you ask, where are you going?" You see, they didn't get it, you know. They never got it. They didn't understand that Jesus was about to do the most precious thing that could be done for a friend. So each of them still had their own thoughts. And finally, Jesus finishes in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, praying that God will make all of them one, loving one another just as he has demonstrated to them in that love. Finally, in John chapter 18, all was done. Supper was over. Everything he had to say, he had spoken. So Jesus would get up. All the disciples, they got up with him. They knew the master's pattern. But it was late that night now. They would come out from that upper room, cross over the southern steps of the temple, and go down the Kidron Valley, where a stream ran. They cross over that stream, and now they found themselves at the foot of what is called the Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. You see, in that area, there would be many olive orchards, growing some for thousands of years. And as they entered this part of orchard, there would be a mill, a stone mill there. The mill was there so that they could take the olive and put there, and the stone press would press on the olive, right? And when they do that, oil, which in Hebrew is called shemen or shemenim, will come out from this very first oil that comes out from the very first press. Today, we call it the extra virgin olive oil. And that was the most holy oil, which is used to light the temple's lights, the menorahs in the temple. The press itself was called gath, a Gad. So together, it was the Gad Shemenim, or Gethsemane. Gethsemane was not the name of a place. It was the instrument used to press the oil. But that night, it wasn't olives that were being pressed. It was Jesus himself. And it wasn't stones that were pressing him, but the weight of the sin of the world. He was carrying upon himself the one mission that only he could do. If he did not do it, no one else could do it. It was all on him. And as he went a stone's throw away, as we have just read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, he got down on his knees and he began to pray earnestly, encouraging his own disciples to pray, but they were tired. You know, it's been a long day. They had prepared for Passover. They waited for Passover. They had to roast, slaughter and kill the lamb. And they had a long talk after supper. And now twilight was upon them. The sky was dark, but the moon was bright because it was the 15th of Nisan. It was the full moon, the night of the full moon. And they presumably dozed away in their lethargy and tiredness. But Jesus went by himself and he began to pray earnestly. And in his prayer, he prayed this: if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. What was that cup? During supper, they drank many cups, many different cups of wine. But this wine represented not just the blood, but the deliverance that God would bring. And he had drank it all, but the last cup was hardest, because that meant he would now have to die. And they were moving ever closer to that final minute in that final hour. So what happens when you put Jesus through Gethsemane? Well, instead of oil coming out, what comes up from Jesus is the purest and most perfect expression of worship and love to the Father. He says, "But Lord, not my will, but yours be done." He is laying his life down, not in exchange for anything, but in sheer love and obedience for God and for all of us. That was Maundy Thursday night. As that worship went out, he knew that at this point, it was too late to turn back, because they could hear from afar, probably they could see the lights of other people coming down the side of the city of David, carrying lights with the guards. He knew that they were upon him. It was too late now for Jesus to turn away from the cross. But thankfully, it is not too late for any of us today to turn to Jesus. It's not too late for us, because his offer still stands good today. The hands that once held children and healed the sick, those hands will be nailed to the cross the very next day. That blood is still good for you and for me today. So, as Jesus finished his prayer, he got up, he woke his disciples. And here, he knows it was time. Judas came by, came and gave him a kiss. Jesus asked him, "Who are you looking for?" Jesus, "I'm he. Don't bother my disciples. Don't bother my sheep. Here, take me. Leave them alone." And that brings us to the end of Jesus' full ministry on earth. The following day would be the last we hear of Jesus as the disciples knew him. Thereafter, he would not be the same. He would be the risen Lord. So tonight, even as we come to this moment, three thoughts we have. First of all, the bitterness that we carry in our life is true for all of us. Life is hard, often lonely. When Jesus had to go to the cross, he knew how utterly lonely he would be. None of his disciples understood what he was doing. In fact, the very next day, they will all desert him. And even Peter would deny him. Not once, but several times. But Jesus knew. He went to the cross because of the bitterness that we have in our heart, the difficulty of life, sin that we struggle with, and death that we cannot escape. Jesus said, I will lay down my life because you are my friends. I think the second thing we can think about is the example Jesus said. Jesus said, this is how you should love one another. Just as I love you. And I am going to lay down my friends, my life for you. And in so saying, Jesus is basically saying to all his disciples that you too will lay down your lives for others. Which is pretty much what happened except for John. But also true for all of us. But last of all, before we draw this night to a close, as we think about this, Jesus was pressed in Gethsemane, and what came out from him was the most perfect worship. Worship doesn't always come via music. It doesn't always come through songs that we sing. Worship comes when we say, God, have your way. Whatever it is you want to do, God, you do it. Have your way. Not my will, but yours be done. Let us now just take a moment to pray, to reflect on this. Lord, we thank you that you look kindly upon us as your friends. Thank you that in your last moments you chose to tell us that you loved us just as the Father loved us. And that included Judas. Lord, today even as we come to this somber time of remembering, we pray that you will set our eyes open to see and recognize all that you're doing for us. We thank you that we no longer have to carry our own bitterness because you have chosen to carry it on our behalf to the cross. So now as we go this night into the darkness, as Jesus is hauled away to be mocked, to be beaten, Lord, may our love for you grow evermore.